Good morning, everybody. How are we? Good? Excellent. Right. This morning, the title of the talk is called Caleb, Give Me Another Mountain. And this is probably one of the most challenging talks I've ever had to give. And the reason why is because I've read this story several times. I've listened to talks about Caleb and Joshua. I imagine many of us here know the story. But it's been challenging for me because the central thrust of the message is about faith. But I think even beyond that, it's about dreams and the fulfillment of dreams. I'm sure many of us here, how many of us here have dreams? I don't mean the kind of dream you have when you consume a dodgy kebab or something. I mean, dreams of doing wonderful things for God. You know, how many of us have dreams? How many of us have had a word spoken over us about something that's beyond you, something that's just too impossible for you to maybe even do in yourself? But you know, you feel that burden in your heart that this thing might just be for me, this might just be what God is saying I shall do. And that's what this whole message has challenged me to think about and maybe start implementing some of the outcomes of it in my own life. So last week we listened to John Norman, and how many of us found that message challenging? I did. And it's interesting because when you go through life as a person, what the world tells us is that there's no God, right? Everyone says there's no God. But without purpose, what's there to life? Without meaning, why are we here then? We can't just be on this earth without a purpose, without a meaning. And the Bible says there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So for every human being here, God gives us a spirit and implants something in us that's beyond us. For Abraham, he told Abraham, you're going to be the father of what? Many generations. He was a man who was over 90. How many of us know here, I shouldn't go there, that 90-year-old men, you know, struggle. Let's leave it at that. So for anyone here, today's message is, next slide, please. For anyone here who has dreams, perhaps your dreams, you've tried walking them out and perhaps you failed. Today's talk is to rekindle that dream. Today's talk is also for anyone who is currently walking that dream and you're facing challenges. You're facing obstacles, you're facing difficulties. Today's talk is to just encourage you to persist, to keep going. You know, one of the most interesting TV shows I've watched, so I love history. I don't know how many of us here have watched the series by Steven Spielberg called Band of Brothers. Has anyone seen it? And in Band of Brothers, there's a scene where you've got soldiers, allied forces, in the middle of a field. And they've got German soldiers shooting directly at them. I'm sure Robin would know this. And the lieutenant who was leading him just said, go forward. If you've been to Normandy and you've seen the Normandy landings, you see these soldiers coming out of boats, literally with machine gun fire in front of them. And what were they meant to do? I would hide, definitely. But what they said to them was what? Go forward. So today's message is for anyone who's had a dream and you're in that dream right now and it's proving difficult and it's proving challenging. Today's message is for you to just persist. Keep going. And then, for some of us who are in that dream right now and we're scared of taking the next step, you're scared of taking a risk, today's message is also to encourage you to just take that step, first step out. Just take that first step. Take a risk. Leave your comfort zone. So the premise of the talk is from Joshua 14. And before, I'm not going to ask us to read Joshua 14, but I'll just tell you about what was going on in Joshua 14. So we're at a point where the Israelites had just conquered Jericho. And Caleb, who was 85, approached Joshua. I said to Joshua, I was promised some land. I would like to go take that land. And in Joshua 14, we're given a description of what the land was like. It was on a hill. It had giants in there. And here was an 85-year-old man who was promised this land. The land was bequeathed to him 45 years before. How many of us know that it's hard to keep a dream for 45 years? 45 years is a lifetime. He'd held this dream for 45 years, and now he was 85. How many of us also know that being 85, you're not necessarily young? You know, I heard about, I didn't watch it, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. How many of us heard about that entertainment? That's a 58-year-old man. That's a man who should be cashing in on his pension. Talk less of an 85-year-old man who says, I want my land. I want what was promised to me. I want what is mine. He'd held this dream for 45 years. And so the question for us today is, what was it about Caleb that gave him that level of confidence? I think that's what we're going to learn this morning. And my hope and prayer is that we will look at Caleb's testimony and hopefully adopt a couple of things from his life that we could use in pursuing our own dreams and our own goals. So to understand Caleb's story, we've got to go back 45 years to Numbers. So I'm going to be calling, you know, going through the Bible. So if you've got a Bible, you can read, but I probably will have some of them on the board here. But we've got to go back 45 years. The Israelites had left Egypt. They'd conquered Egypt, the greatest army known to man. They'd crossed the Red Sea. We all know that story. And they came to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And it was time for them to take the promised land. And Moses said to them, go take the land. And they refused. Fine, you'll find this in Deuteronomy. And then Moses also said to them, right, if you don't want to go, what we'll do is we'll send out 12 spies to spy the land. I think that's quite common to many of us here. If you've ever done business before, what do you do in business? Before you set up a business, you investigate, don't you? You do a feasibility study. You employ people to, you know, check out the lay of the land. If you're getting married, you check out the person as well. You know, who is she? Where's her family? All that. Let's leave that to one side. But, you know, you do all these things if you're going to take a step into something new, isn't it? So Moses sent out 12 spies and said, go spy out the land. And the spies went for 40 days, spied out the land, and they came back. Now, there were 12 of them. I'm sure we've all heard this story before. The report they came back with, next slide, please, was this. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. That's a fantastic place, isn't it? See, here's the interesting thing. Like most dreams that God gives us, it's always fantastic. I've had words spoken over me, and trust me, they're fantastic. No one is going to come give you a word saying, you're going to suffer. You're going to have no children. You're going to fail all your exams. Life is good. No one wants that kind of word. So when people give you a word, it's usually something to do with purpose. You're going to be great. You're going to start your own business. You're going to employ people. You're going to change the country. That's the kind of word we receive, isn't it? And we're all excited. We get excited. We get happy. We thank God. Oh, God gave me a word. Usually the first part of the report is always quite good. It's the second part we need to be wary of. Next slide, please. Sorry, just sorting out my phone. Right. So, there were 12 spies. 10 came back with this report. I'm just going to read it very quickly. But the people who live there are powerful. That was a fact. The cities are fortified and are very large. We saw the giants who live there. It is a hilly country surrounded by our enemies. We saw the giants and we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so we were in their sight. How many of us have started something before that God told us to do and halfway into it, we feel like we should just give up? How many of us here have started a business or an idea? I have. And halfway into it, you think, the people there know more than me. I'm not that good. I'm not that smart. I'm not that pretty. I'm not that brave. This is interesting and also instructive that when God gives us a word in our hearts, he never tells us there'll be obstacles. I think that's instructive because what God is doing is actually telling us to go do stuff and expecting that we will depend on him and not look at what we're seeing around. So God says to them, go take the land. And here's what they come back with. The last one is quite interesting because it says, we saw the giants and we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. How did they make that out? And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we do this sometimes. Someone gives you a look and you're thinking, maybe they don't like me. Psychologists call this attribution error. They projected their own fears, their own concerns to these people, and this was the report they gave. And this report caused lots of fear. The vision, the dream is free, but the journey is not. The dream is free. Many of us here have dreams, but we might have stepped out and have stepped back. And you know the funny thing with this story, because it's just so typical of all of us human beings. Do you know what they said to Moses when they heard this report? Can anyone tell me? Let's go back to Egypt where it's safe. Let's go back to our comfort zone. Has anyone been there before? You start a business, you step out, you invest lots of money in the business, and things suddenly go back and you say, do you know what? I'm just going to go back to paid employment. Has anyone done that? I'm not saying paid employment is bad. I'm just saying these are the realities of life. Does that make sense? You start up something and you just realize, I can't carry on. There are too many giants there. There are people who know more than me. I'm not smart enough. And we step back and say, right, I'd rather go where it's comfortable and just stay there and live in the ordinary. That's the report they brought back. The problem with this report was that it caused fear in the hearts of men. I tell you, folks, listen, we've got to be careful who we listen to, because most people will speak out of fear. People out there will speak out of fear. And if you listen to the news 24/7 and listen to the reports from people, you won't do anything, because most people will not speak out of faith, but out of fear. Next slide, please. Now, let's see the report of Caleb. So different groups of people saw the same thing, came back with different reports. Now here's Caleb's report. He saw the same thing. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. Same thing. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is God, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Very contradictory, isn't it? But these were the minority. Excuse me. So what is it about Caleb that led him to this point? How is it that a man would see the same giants, the same fortified cities, the same hill city, and come back with this report, whereas the majority came back with what was, to be honest, a scary report? What was it about Caleb? And we can find certain clues in what he said here. You know, the Lord is with us. Here's a man who knows God, who knows who's going with him. And we're going to talk about that very quickly. We can see other clues here. Their protection is gone. He understood who was with him. Caleb understood that he was different from everybody else. I always tell people, I don't say this out of pride or anything, but when I became a Christian in university, I said to everybody I knew, I would never fail again. Not because I'm the smartest. Hear me, please. Hear my heart. I'm not the smartest person. But I said, I will never fail an exam again. I just knew that because of the God in me, he will somehow favor everything to work out for me. Somehow. I don't care how, but he will favor. That's when I became a Christian. That was the conclusion I came to, that I would never fail an exam again. Because I just kind of knew that if God is for me, who can be against me? And let me be honest with you, I don't always get this right. I don't always think this way. I've been overcome by fear before. Trust me, I have been overcome by fear. I've been overcome by worry. I've been overcome by depression. I've been overcome by my own inabilities. But the point of this whole talk is to encourage us to still take that next step of faith. So what lessons can we learn from Caleb here? Next slide, please. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 8, and in Numbers 14, 24, Caleb said to Joshua, "I followed God wholeheartedly, and that's why he gave me that land." One lesson we can all learn is to make a choice to follow God with our whole hearts. Paul said to Timothy, "Give yourselves entirely to these things that your progress may be evident to all." Give yourself entirely to these things that your progress may be evident to all. What does it mean to follow God wholeheartedly? It means to know God. It means to know God. It means to commit ourselves to just knowing God and trusting Him. Involving God in our lives. You see, when you live in the West, I've got to be careful what I say here, but when you live in the West, in a place like the UK, it's very easy to not involve God. If you've lived in a developing country, I don't know how many of you have, I have. Trust me, if you're going from London to Manchester, you'll fast for 3 days before making that journey. Because you know if you don't, you go die. In the West, we are so... Right. Okay. We're privileged. Yes, that's the right word. Giving ourselves wholeheartedly to God would cause us to take risks because, I mean, think about when you're going to insure your car. One of the reasons why we can drive is because we're insured. We just don't insure our cars with anybody, do we? We insure with reputable agencies because we know that if anything goes wrong, they'll fix the car. When we know God and we trust God and we give ourselves to Him, we can take risks because we know who's backing us. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, "Those who know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits." They will do the impossible. Those who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. In Proverbs, it says, "The righteous is as bold as a lion." You want to take a risk in life, you got to know who's backing you. Why are you selling everything and moving to Cambodia? You've got to know who's backing you, man. Else you go there and you'll come back. You want a miracle church? Who's backing you? You see, it's so easy in the West to depend on the system. There's a mortgage, the lawyers, the systems work. Isn't that the case? That we depend on all these things. And look, it's fantastic. But what of when we need a bit more than the system? What about situations where we need for something impossible to happen? We can't depend on the system then. We've got to go to a higher law, the law of faith. And that brings me to the second point. Caleb had a different attitude. Now, this was God's testimony of Caleb. He said, Caleb and Joshua had a different attitude. Some versions of the Bible will say, Caleb and Joshua had a different spirit. And that, for me, is the spirit of faith. And this is why this message has been challenging, because for some time now, I've just sort of been moping through life and not really walking in faith. Because when you walk in faith, you do impossible things. How is it that Caleb saw something, saw giants, saw a hill country, so a country that was going to be difficult to reach and came to those conclusions? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God. We want to please God in River, we've got to have faith. We want to get the miracle building, we've got to have faith. It is impossible. So our starting point has to be, well, where's my faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Caleb had faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. How do you work out faith? I'll give you a very practical example. This is how faith works. If you want to go to Manchester, and like me, being a posh boy, you want to stay in a posh hotel, right? Cool. You go online, you pay for your hotel reservation. All you've got is a reservation. That's all you've got, a reservation. You probably haven't seen the hotel. You probably do not know where the hotel is. All you've got is a sheet of paper that says, you've got a room in this hotel. And what do? You do the work. You go to the hotel, and when you get there, you say to them, I've got a room reserved here. And what would they say? Well, where's your proof? You show them that reservation. That's faith. Faith is you get a word from the Bible, not from Netflix. You read that word. You ruminate on that word until it means everything to you. And you present that word to God and say, this is what you said. And you keep presenting that word until you have peace in your heart. That's when you rest. You might not have seen anything, but that's when you rest until there's peace in your heart. That's faith. Symbols, as the Meerkat says. That's faith. So how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Hear the word of God. For our miracle building, this week we've called this next week, you know, we've been told to spend a day praying. Get the word of God, read it. Hold on to a word and just pray on that word until you have peace in your heart. That's how we see dreams. The final one, know the dream. Caleb held on to this dream for 45 years. When he went to Joshua, he told Joshua exactly what God told him, exactly what was bequeathed to him. He said that to Joshua. See, for many of us here, when God wants to speak to us, he shows us something. He gives us a dream. When he was going to tell Abraham he was going to be the father of many nations, he took him outside and showed him the stars. Know the dream. What is it that God has set in your heart? Know the dream. Write it down. Put it on paper. Maybe share it with somebody. One of the things I struggle with, even with this, is clarity of mind, clarity of thought. Sometimes the dream is fuzzy. Sometimes I'm not sure because, you know, one minute I'm thinking this and the next I'm thinking that. One minute my emotions are here and the next moment is this, you know, it's down. So sometimes we need just space and time to get our minds and hearts set on God. So, just to conclude. Next slide, please. Just some thoughts for us to reflect upon this morning and this week, I hope. Why not ask God for enlightenment? Why not ask God to open your heart and your mind? Why not ask God for understanding, certainty instead of skepticism, specificity instead of confusion? And there are promises here that I've put on the slide just for us to see. Ephesians 1:18 says that the Spirit of God will flood our hearts and minds with light. It's a promise. So if you're like me, trying to understand where do I fit in this world? What is my calling? What am I meant to be doing? How do we get this miracle building? Which way are you directing us to go? Maybe spend this week just praying that prayer, Ephesians 1:18. That God will flood your heart with light. Second thing, choose to pursue your dreams by faith. Guys, Caleb was 85. I don't know if there's anyone here who's 85, but I know I'm not. It's time to just pursue those dreams. It's time to take one step after the other. Just take that next step by faith. Let's get a word and act. Let's be action-oriented, right? Not just talk-oriented, action-oriented. Take a step. Take a step this week. And finally, commit your actions to God. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him and he'll do it. This is one of the challenges I know God has given me. I try to commit everything I do to God. When I'm preparing to go to work on a Friday, I just say a prayer, Lord, I'm committing today to you. When I'm going to make tough decisions, Lord, I'm committing this to you. And what I'm doing is involving God, getting him involved in what I'm trying to do. And this week, we're going to do that for this miracle building. Let's just commit our ways to God. The people we write letters to, the people we speak to, the people we call on the phone, let's commit all that to God. So to conclude, the dream is there to be taken. Would we dare take it? Thank you.
Thank you, Obi. Thank you.